You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Franz Kafka, paging Franz Kafka.
Just a tad.
Please come to the Saban Film offices. Your movie is waiting for you. Although Vivarium is not indeed based on a Franz Kafka novel, it might as well be. It
very well could be, yeah.
I mean, talk about your existentialist dread.
Yeah, it's the most I've not wanted children since The Babadook. Which is great.
I still hate that kid more, to be honest with you.
Home Alone's what made up my mind for me.
come on. That's my generation.
The kid is a terrorist. Like, he's a psychopathic monster.
And the stuff that he did would have killed people.
He's a survivalist.
How many survivalists have you met? They're psychopaths.
I was going to say, most survivalists will say, yeah, I needed an M16 and grenade launcher. How else am I going to survive in the wilderness?
Yeah, how am I going to survive the coronavirus? I need an M16.
Oh, too soon.
Kill me.
So this is a sci-fi thriller film that's just getting its wide release, or, you know, limited release, I guess, technically. Because this is not the sort of thing that's going to play your local multiplex unless you have one of those multiplexes that always reserves two theaters for the weirder stuff.
It's a multiplex in Westwood, maybe.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, good luck explaining this one to your dad without him going, so what is the movie again?
I mean, saw this back, and I thought it was South by Southwest this came out originally.
No, we saw it at Fantastic Fest. Yeah, I think it was me and Alan saw
Okay. And I know it played Cannes Film Festival before.
It won an award there, actually.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay. They, you know, it's...
I mean, no, come on.
They like the more depressing, angsty stuff overseas. Yeah. They're like, oh, this is sad.
They gave Marie Antoinette...
Well, never mind. Weird, and therefore makes me feel smart.
Yeah. This is by director Lorcan Finnegan, Irish director. I think it's his... I want to say it's his fourth full-length film, third or fourth. And they all look like they've all been sort of sci-fi horror adjacent.
See, I don't know anything, because I know him and the screenwriter partner up together on a lot of collaborations, so I've never seen anything from either one of them.
I hadn't seen him either, but this is just saying, he has had, this isn't a first time effort, although I thought it really kind of felt like a first effort, because it's one of those ideas that you're like, okay, solid idea. The Black Mirror pitch offices are right over there,
because
this is a 50-minute story.
When I saw the trailer, I'm like, this looks like a Black Mirror episode.
See, for me, because I'm such an old fogey, and I don't like what the kids are watching these days. but
you're just, what are you watching, Golden Girls? I don't know.
You see, this is very Night Gallery, Rod Serling for me.
And I mean, I give you
same difference. 601 half dozen.
Even more. Twilight Zone. No, there you go. I win.
Well, because Rod Serling's, those two shows really relied more on nothing. In terms of like props and,
simplicity.
Effect. Yeah, very simplistic.
It tended to be bottle episodes or all taking place in one place.
It was all about the situation, the acting, and the dialogue.
And a lot of times about the existential dread of
whatever it was.
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, I think this movie chooses some points to do a time jump that was really needed, but also
Used some more.
I was gonna say, it's also a 97-minute movie that could have been 60-minute movie and would have been a fine.
Like feature. I said, it's so perfectly suited to an anthology horror sci-fi TV show that it baffles me that anyone thought we should make this a full-length film.
Well, I thought, why not? There's something maddening about the fact that it keeps on going on and on and on.
Yeah, it's just to create a sense of view of endlessness that the characters have.
But, well, it worked for me.
But for me, I just started to get bored. Let's talk about the plot here.
What it's about
Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots are a couple, Tom and Gemma. She's a teacher for like kindergarten, I guess, preschool,
level.
And he seems to be the landscaper, I guess.
Groundskeeper.
Groundskeeper Jesse.
He has gardening tools. It's important.
He has more than gardening tools. He has a pickaxe.
He hangs out in trees.
What do you
do with rocky soil? You use it to break up the rocky soil. You've never actually really worked in the dirt, have you, Ben?
I have. I guess I just live in places with temperate soil, or also all the clay that North Texas has.
You're well, so urban.
I stood right next to our landscaper for 5 minutes once. I look, I know a little something.
Juan
about
was very nice.
In the dirt.
How dare you?
Wow. Okay.
They are. They're, you know, not married, but they've been in a relationship for a while. It sounds clear even right on. They may even be possibly thinking about going more serious. They mentioned having a, possibly having a kid in the
future.
Well,
they're certainly going to move into a house.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're out looking at houses. It's not their first time, but they go into this kind of weird place that has all these models of exactly the same homes. And
that
this
are green.
That are green. And this
green blue.
Strange looking guy. It looks like, I still think he looks like the demo version of Gary Oldman. He's like Gary Oldman without any of the extra features.
There were a few names tossed around. Who else was tossed around? Who is this guy doppelganger for?
What was it?
We said.
Well, it looked like he was wearing human skin because he was awkward.
He's got kind of Crispin Glover weirdness and
there, Crispin Glover. Willard.
But he's like, they're like, this is not our thing, but he's just being kind of almost absurdly insistent that they at least come check this place out. So he drives them out, or they follow him in their car, follow his car out to wherever it is. They don't
Prospect
say specifically.
Park.
But, well, I mean, in terms of in relation to their city, like how far it is, what
it
happens.
No, he says it's
far enough and close enough.
Yes, near enough and yet far enough.
Which is about the most vague thing you could possibly say.
Which
like
is,
said.
Yes, I'll follow you
Fuck,
out
I'll just
the
follow
wilderness.
You then.
Yeah. So they get out there, and literally, it's like, it's Tim Burton's nightmare.
You know what?
Where it's like the unfinished Tim
like
Burton.
Yes,
world. Wives
no. This
kind
reminds
of
me of Adam and Barbara from Beetlejuice. This is like their story in a lot
where
of ways.
Every house is exactly identical. Yeah. Every yard
and
is
green.
Exactly identical. Even the clouds are all just
they're perfect
clouds.
Little
cloud perfect little
cloud
shaped clouds. And they're like something is off with this place. There's no other cars anywhere. But he leads them into the house. They're looking around, which is weird in and of itself. Like, every room has a picture of the room or of the house. And it's like, okay. Tries to get him to, like, he's like, here's our gift. It's champagne and strawberries. They're like, yeah, no, okay. And they're really already ready to leave. And then he just kind of vanishes.
Oh, first they show him a nursery with that is painted blue.
Yeah. For a boy.
For a boy.
Yeah.
But, so they're like, where did he go? Oh, my God, he even left in his car. That was weird. So they get in their car, try to leave, and they cannot find their way out. There's no cell phone service to use the GPS. They spend all day, literally kill all the gas in their car trying to escape this identical, endless suburbia and keep coming back to house number 9. And from there, that's pretty much the first part of this story, as they're like, what is happening? What do we do? Every day, a box full of very generic brand groceries is dropped mysteriously.
Like you can
house.
Tell that's what Gwyneth Paltrow's like grocery looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, right?
You know? Yeah, like it's sort of like microbiotic.
And he goes up on the roof, and all he can see is just
houses and houses
clouds.
And houses
and clouds.
And then, as far as I want to go into describing the plot, I'll go for this point, because this is still very early in the movie. One day, a box arrives with a newborn infant in it, little boy.
It's in the trailer, so it's not a big spoiler.
Yeah, and the box says, raise him and you will be released, which puts them in a bit of a conundrum because this is no normal boy. But I don't want to say too much about that, except that, like, this isn't a, like, if you're thinking, oh, this is going to go some sort of horror movie way where the boy tries to kill him or something, this just isn't that kind of movie. Like
it's
I said,
like shit gets
weird. Think more like I said, a Kafka-esque Twilight Zone episode.
Thank God it's not that kind of movie. I wouldn't want to watch that kind of movie. I like that.
Well, it's been done a lot.
Yeah. I think this is like the whole unsettling, I mean, reevaluating your relationship, what you really want, just sort of the madness of suburbia in general, and you know the nightmarish.
And not just suburbia, a place where there is literally only you and this foreign person that is a weirdo, whatever. Because he's not
normal.
Human.
No. I mean, he will mimic you in a heartbeat.
He will mimic you
in
actions
his voice and sounds.
Is off.
And, yeah,
you know he. Whenever he wants something, he will scream at the top. He grows exceedingly fast.
Well, he screams when he wants food.
No, he wants anything.
Anything he particularly wants. Yeah, the kid just starts screeching at the top of his lungs. And yeah, and he's
well, the
a
only
trained
way to stop
mimic.
Him is food, really.
Well, that's what they figure out. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, I'll shut you up with some cornflakes. But yeah, but if you notice,
I've never seen anyone get more excited about corn, but just plain cornflakes.
I mean, if all the other food tastes like nothing, I guess cornflakes is as good as anything.
He said, yum, yum.
There was no generic Captain Crunch available, so.
Not even Apple Jacks. Not even Apple apple jacks, as they do.
That's wrong.
And yes, it's going, and then, you know, he gets measured, and each one is like day 98, and he looks like he's about, I guess, 7 or 6.
The upshot is this, like, is this endless, like, existence of nothingness. There's no media for them to absorb of any kind.
That moving Warshak painting on TV.
That's about it. Yeah. They can get absorbed a little bit in their own little obsessions they find. He starts digging a hole. She's trying to do anything she can come up with to try and crack the mystery and realize it's got to be connected to this kid somehow.
Well, they're motivated to leave.
I mean, they just don't. They're literally in a position. They're like they're banging their heads against a wall and don't know what to do. And the movie continues on like that. And like I said, that ultimately is kind of my problem, is that the film takes very tiny steps forward. And I agree. Yeah. I think it wants to create that sense of like exhaustiveness in you. But yeah. I mean, I was one of those where I go, I get it. I'm also kind of bored.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. See, I partially agree because of the whole, like, whether it's Black Mirror or Night Gallery, you know, you can see this being sort of compressed. But at the same time, there is something that's very palpable about this, and you know,
I mean,
and it's sort of like it's tragic because you do want this couple to get out of there, but you know, with a premise like this, there's no, I mean,
it is a horror.
You don't survive a premise like this, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah,
but the thing is, part of it though is that it did throw these interesting flashes at you, but because it was so much focused on the mundane endlessness of it, because it's like this kid,
call it the horror of suburbia,
right? It's like, you know, like I said, they had the thing of he grows crazy fast, but they didn't really utilize that all that much. There's the thing with, at one point, you know, she's given a book that's in this weird ass alien,
all right, let's not give away too much stuff here. We're like, well, being a little too many details.
What's the question? Do you think that they should have gone further with it?
I think they should have given more glimpses into what this stuff means, because it looks like there are a lot of glimpses into what this world is, what this universe is, who these kids are, but not enough so that you know what's happening, and too much so that it's not like what is going on, the world is being overcome by this evil thing. It feels like it's like you either needed to give me more or give me less.
See, I'm kind of in the middle on that, because I think that, yes, it could have been a shorter movie. You know, 90 minutes or 97 minutes, whatever it is a fine runtime for a movie that doesn't just try to build up dread. And I do think there's a great final payoff. There's a great final big action-y scene that literally is really like an intriguing look at kind of what they're building
it's
up.
It's not even big, though. It's
no, pretty damn short. Well, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. It's by the rest of the movie.
Compared to what came before, it's visually very stimulating.
But that's my point. Is like, if it wasn't a 90-minute movie and then you got to that, it's like, cool. You kind of built up to this thing that's kind of just like a roller coaster for, I guess, like 5 minutes at most. Really, what the movie succeeds on is, I think, the leads. Eisenberg and Poots they work really well together as a couple. Like, their chemistry is great for that. And
physically,
you know,
they're just really beautiful together. Well, I think they're beautiful individually, but together, they're so much more striking. They fit so well together.
They have that good thing of, like, when a relationship where you see a couple that you can see where they're opposed, like, how they're different, but it doesn't play off, like, they're diametrically opposed. Like, okay, you can see how one plays to the weaknesses of the other, and kind of vice versa.
They've got a good shorthand.
And when they're at odds with each other, it comes back around in ways that feel natural, which is something that a lot of movies like this would kind of gloss over and try to force the relationship to come back together. And yeah, some of that's because of the jumps of time, but other parts of that are because they make the circumstances really feed into that.
I mean, I think the performances are one of the saving graces here, because they're both very good performers. They're both really good with each other. But I thought, like, with anything spending that much time with essentially just these two characters, because the boy is not even really a character
he's
a thing. He might as well be a robot.
Don't call it
you know? But there were points I was like, those jumps, I didn't feel an organicness in the issues they were having being resolved at all. I was just kind of like, shit just kind of happens.
But the jumps make it feel like a Night Gallery, sort of Twilight Zone, Black Mirror, sort of.
Oh, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like I said, part of the problem is that length. It just gets kind of exhausting and not in a pleasant way. Also, will like abstract films if they're very, very beautiful. Like The Fountain is a good example for me of a film
where
like,
I film find beautiful?
Very, very beautiful. I didn't. I think I get its idea. It's a one note image, you know, much like the pictures that are hanging up everywhere. It's like, yeah, once you've seen the first like few frames of Suburbia, you've seen visually the bulk of what this movie really has to offer.
That was sort of bland and dreamy at the same time.
Yeah, that was the idea. It's the unfinished Tim Burton set.
Pretty intriguing. Like, you know, the way they set up the Suburbia, and there's a few scenes where just like they're trying to lash out against the suburban environment. And when they do that, it kind of adds a splash of a different color and a different look to it. And again, it wasn't like always a huge dynamic change, but I thought that was, it very felt in line with the palette of the movie. And I actually really appreciated that it was never, like, it never strayed super outside of that until a certain point at the end, like we discussed, because that really kind of builds up the momentum. Again, I agree, it goes a bit too long with that, but I like it a lot.
Well, actually, I think that's part of the problem, is that sequence should have been the third act and been considerably longer.
I can agree with
because
that.
Because there's way too much of the first two acts here where nothing is really happening at all. Little tiny drips and drabs.
Well, they're changing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just said, but we're also not seeing their relationship, the things that are happening between them are not detailed in an interesting, organic way. They just kind of happen, and we're like, okay, and that's, they deal with that through time jumps, but it didn't make them any more interesting to me. After a while, they just felt like props themselves.
Really? I don't get that because I love their subtle changes, the way they interact with each other, the way they treat each other.
Sure. I didn't see those moments in between that led to why those changes are happening.
Yeah.
Well, because, and they didn't feel real. They were just like, they feel trapped. This is that way.
They're so susceptible to just, you know, the madness of the whole thing. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, you know, stay there. I'm going to do that, you know, sort of thing. Like, but at the same time, I like at the, you know, I don't know, spoiler alerts, but I love that there's this tenderness throughout, which no matter how dire it gets, no matter how desperate they get, there's this tenderness that never leaves them, that they can hold on to, that they never lose, that this situation, this place never takes from them.
Yes, but then that's focused on them, but you also have this third thing.
This thing.
And it's just like the emotional journey in regards to him is like, you can clearly see that in the beginning, it, you know, he's breaking things up and there is tension and she's, you know, he's breaking away in his own universe. She's trying to connect more to this kid. And then there's a time jump and all of a sudden,
she's not trying to. That's just her instinct as a teacher.
Well, right. Yeah, but it's like, it's there. And then in the next, the time jump, now it's like, I am afraid of you. He's, you know, sweet. And they're a couple again. And it's just like, wait, what happened in between this?
I feel like that was well told. I don't want to give spoilers, but I will say I felt like that was well told, because the scene that went just before that with her and the child really sets that up. And then they do visual storytelling with them when she goes to check on him later after the next scene. Because the time jump is very clearly detailed in that one by the child's aging is detailed there.
Sure.
And where it goes from there, you see a lot of just how much it's kind of broken down their wherewithal by that point, because this is towards the end of the movie. And I think that I thought that was well explained visually there.
We'll say as well, like I was saying earlier about the abstract thing, and I feel like either it needs to be very, very beautiful or at the very least much more detail. And this movie doesn't really have a lot of details. It's kind of this one thing. It's this one idea.
But don't you think that
let me finish.
Okay.
That's very Franz Kafka. Like, there's no missing it, certainly. But it's so Franz Kafka that you're kind of like, Jesus fucking Christ, I get it, okay? I get it. And this is the type of film that, to make this sort of thing work for me, and I know that some people, this is like exactly what they like with the sort of sci-fi.
Sure.
Like, simpler is better. For me, I'm like, you're setting up a mystery, I need more. Like she was saying earlier, either give me more, give me less. I'm like, no, not less, unless it's running time. give me more details of what's going on. I don't even need the final answer, but I need something more than what you actually end up giving me, which, to be honest, isn't much, except for an ending that was so wildly and utterly predictable by the middle of the film that I was just kind of waiting for it to play out by then.
Well, for me, we've all mentioned the time jumps in the film, and I kind of think that is this movie's one of this movie's greatest strengths, is that they are so jarring that they just happen, and you know, it already takes a a setup which is already unsafe and so unfamiliar in a lot of ways, it makes it even more so. By the fact that just things,
well,
just,
if you
things
wanted,
just, this kid grows about like 6 years in 100 days. Was,
yeah,
like 3 months.
Like,
I
the
mean,
middle act was him all the same things. Like, if you wanted that to be more jarring and be more mysterious,
it was as enough as it needs to be for me.
Well, I mean, I guess my standpoint is like, if you, if you wanted more of that feeling for me, you would need to have more of those.
More of the, okay.
Yeah. Well, there would need to be like, agreed. Okay, this is a jarring moment because tones shifted and age is different and spots in the relationships have shifted.
There should have been more.
All right.
But that, so could, that quickly become exhausting, though.
There should be more time jumps because
there's
literally infant for like a minute and a half, the boy for 3/4 of the movie, and then a full grown adult. And you're like, clearly there were teenage years in there somewhere. And I'm kind of like, that would have been a better opportunity and felt more balanced and have a, that having a bigger time jump there and saying, okay, like, or exploring that middle period just felt like it would have made more sense. Like, everything felt kind of uneven in the scripting in a way that,
yes,
I don't think was intentional at all, because the goal of this whole movie is to be super symmetrical.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
true.
I can get behind that. Yeah.
But let's go to final thoughts. Who wants to go first? Okay, Ben.
I'll go first. I feel like there's a trend here.
You saw it first.
You are wearing green.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I'm not wearing like, wow. I'm not wearing, like, yeah, I'm not wearing, like, top taupe mixed with mint green. Like, that's what that was. You know, I saw this twice, and I think I grew to appreciate it more the second time. I liked it initially, and I think I would definitely say being a shorter movie would benefit it. I don't know if I needed necessarily more. I kind of liked how nebulous, and I wouldn't even say, like, we keep saying sci-fi. I would almost say it falls into almost, like, fantasy or just, like, you know, magical mysticism, but dark mysticism with it more than sci-fi, at least the way I read
it. It's surrealism.
Yeah, but as I'm saying, it's more than just, like, I would say as a sci-fi trope. But yeah, I mean, I generally really liked it a lot. I do think the performances are the best thing. Eisenberg does a good job. I think Poots is just fantastic. She just has so many just... Her performance has so many small moments where she just delivers a line and just, like, her tone changes just perfectly. And she gets that perfect sarcastic bitterness from one scene to the next scene when she has to be maternal. And it doesn't feel like, you know, a flip-flop of the character. It just feels like a natural transition of both sides of the character. And I really appreciate that. I agree, you know, I could have dealt with maybe some more of the mystery with the length. But it's more of just... I would have preferred that they tightened up a tiny bit. You know, we didn't need to see them hunting around in their car as long as they did. I liked how long it was when they were on foot because, you know, it's a different mode of transport and that's a slower thing and it makes more sense. The car one is just like, we get it. You're going around in circles in a car. We don't need that. And yeah, there's some of the stuff with when they get into the middle point where it's like, cool. You know, this is what Eisenberg's doing. That's basically the only active thing happening for at least 3 scenes straight. And they're not like 3, you know, short scenes in a montage. It's a long set of
scenes.
Did
you have him in the ground digging for more than would have been necessary,
yeah,
for his character?
So some of that stuff I definitely agree could have been tightened up or dropped. But overall,
he was
looking
for the whole truth.
Ba-bum-bum.
I wanted to say it before Ben could.
I do one of those.
No, I was not going for that, Chris. But, yeah, but Chris, if you're going there,
he was
getting to the bottom
into
of it.
A hole.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, again, not a perfect movie. If you have any interest in what we've discussed so far, if you've seen the trailer, I think you should check it out. It's at least worth that. I wouldn't say maybe go out to the theater, but if it's $3 on Amazon, you could do worse.
Whoa.
Well, no, $3 on Amazon is your average rental. What do you want, Frank?
That's true.
No, that's Frank.
So yeah, I mean...
God, Frank.
No, I'm just saying,
this movie's only $3.
You'll pay $1,000 and
listen,
you'll love it.
Alamo
Frank
is still showing Color Out of Space. You know, if this shows up, I'd say go see this after that.
Well, yeah. I can say that'd be a good deal. But so yeah, for my final thoughts, I'm gonna give it 7.5 out of 10 individually packed shrimps.
Mandy?
You stole my shrimps. I was debating. Well, as we said, well, no, back up a little. I absolutely love kind of the sci-fi horror genre in particular. I love, you know, Black Mirror. I've watched all of the Twilight Zones.
Have you seen Night Gallery? Are you a Night Gallery fan?
I want to.
Mindy!
There's only like one season, right?
There's three.
Is there three?
And a TV movie starring Joan Crawford that was directed by Steven Spielberg in his first directing job.
I did know that.
I will totally watch it. But yeah, it's like... If you're gonna give
Outer
me a horror, give me like the sci-fi weird horror. And I think that, as we said, this movie would have been great as a Black Mirror episode.
Great-er. Sorry.
But as it is, again, making it into a movie stretches it all out and in turn makes it drag. And and as you said with the whole thing with the symmetry, it's like if you were doing that in regards to your filmmaking aesthetic, making it more symmetrical would have been more artistic and, you know, more favorable by the Cantype people. But yeah, but it's... this is what they look for.
Or them. Not that, that they're tied. Them.
I thought they were looking for sadness.
Right. But yeah, but it's... but... It's a really good idea of, okay, you're trapped in a place and you have this foreign person that you're supposed to raise, whatever the hell that means, and maybe you'll get out, what does all that mean? And I mean, it is an interesting concept, but it is stretched out so much, by the end of it, like, all right, what's fine, just get me through. Come on, let's go, people. But I will say the acting of the leads is the highlight. They have such great chemistry together, and you really care about what's going on between the two of them. But when you add all the other stuff, it's like, no, I don't, just them, focus on them. And the last act, that's where, take away the time spent on the second act and put it into the end so that, because it's like, all right, here we are in this land of sameness and perfectness and oh no, it's just monotonous. And then, oh, well, now here's the world again. And it's just like, no, more. Give me more of this part over here that you just flashed in my face for 2 seconds, because then it would justify the middle more.
But it's so effective, that flash, though.
Yeah, but it said it nothing.
It's effective because you've been waiting for something to fucking happen. Right. For 45 minutes.
Yeah, and it's like, it gave us little hints of all this stuff, but never really paid off on a lot of them because there wasn't enough time focused on them. So it's like I said, great concept, would have been great as a Black Mirror episode, not so effective as a movie. So I will say 6.5 perfect cloud looking clouds.
Wow.
Frank?
6.5. Listen, this is my short list for actor, actress, screenplay. Of course it will. I'm just kidding.
You say that, we're going to talk to you in 6 months. Kidding.
That's fucking March, okay? Come on. Michelle Pfeiffer has a movie coming out later this year.
Yeah, so that's a shoo-in.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of your short list.
Although I did not vote for Maleficent, too, so there you go.
Are you sure? Yeah, I would have looked at you a little askance.
I mean, she playing a Disney version of Donald Trump would have, that's not, never boring to watch. But anyway, in this movie,
Michelle Pfeiffer's not in it.
She is not in it. Otherwise I've been pipping out way more than I am right now. But I did, you do this I, more? No, I didn't. What?
You can do this more?
I did enjoy this film. And I gotta say, first of all, it's a very beautiful film. There's a worse ways you can spend $5 million than this film. And I think it's visually very beautiful. It's also very, off-putting in its beauty. Yes, they are great together. The two leads are really, really great together. Because, they're asked to play characters that they don't really get to play before. I've never seen Jesse Eisenberg this sort of... rugged and sort of like, alpha in a lot of ways. He's usually like
he's
Lex Luthor is, what'd you say with Batman?
He's the guy from The Social Network, but more of a little bitch.
Okay. Yeah. And so, and other films he's done is the same thing. Imogen Poots, I love. If you want a good Imogen Poots performance, just check out a Bogdanovich film she did called She's Funny That Way. They're great together. I love that this relationship is so subtly written. That you really don't get anything about their history until the very, very end. But you find yourself invested in them so much throughout that it doesn't really even matter. I think it does sort of, marinate, for lack of a better term, in its premise. But it's never boring. At least not to me. It was never boring. I don't want to see a more compressed version of this. I think it was jarring when it jumped the decades, the eras. at the same time, there's always this sort of like wonder and mystery and curiosity about it, which is, you know, it's very Rod Serling. It's very Twilight Zone, which I think this movie pulls from. I do feel, and also Tim Burton, I feel like this is the couple from Beetlejuice at the beginning. This is, you know, this is them totally. And I love that this is about, you know, this couple being tested and leaning on each other and the whatever drew them together in the first place, you know, needs to band them together throughout this entire surrealist journey. You know, it goes this way and that way. It's got some really great images, and they're all welcome as far as I'm concerned. There are some stuff that, yeah, you can see that coming. If you're a genre fan, you can see this coming, but then that's to be expected. What are you going to do? In the end, I think this is a really great surrealist indie. This shows you can do a lot with just small budget and, you know, just, you know, drive and imagination. So I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10. Woof, 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 woof.
No more. Stop.
You know, I mean, this is definitely pretty, but it's all but completely static. And anything pretty, if you stare at it long enough, eventually is going to lose its allure. When it doesn't move, it doesn't change. And it's not that complicated to begin with. This is kind of that movie. And it starts to get super draggy. It's so draggy, I'm surprised RuPaul wasn't in this thing.
Wow.
Seriously.
Wow. You try to get at me. Oh, I bet you're going to make a whole pun.
I'm not even going to give. I'm not going to give that whole, like, bum, 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 cheek. Because it's like.
That was too bad.
Yeah, it was too. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, the performances are good, but then, like I said, it was just too, like, unfinished. Everything felt unfinished in this film to me. This movie needed, like, 3 more passes on the script to really sell it. And whenever you're dealing with a film that's essentially 2 characters, it's got to be really good script. I mean, and there's a point where I went from characters that I believed were real people to people who just felt like they were props in service of this one idea. And the idea is not that complex. They tease at it being like, oh, we're going to make this more interesting, but they never really do. I mean, at the end, you're left with a big question mark, but you get the general idea. To answer your not sci-fi, I completely disagree. The word vivarium literally means place to observe life. And you're
really?
Like,
is
okay,
that what that means?
Like, so
I can never know what they,
like, basically a
that
terrarium or something. So I'm like, clearly this is a situation where they've been put in a thing to be watched by something. And I'm like, that's sci-fi.
This should call this movie Yonder. What did you think about this couple in terms of like that when put, you know, the push to the limit sort of scenario?
I mean,
these characters.
I don't think it went anywhere near as interestingly as they could have. I thought it was like, okay, it toys with it going a lot more interesting. And I thought the way they end up wrapping up Jesse Eisenberg's character was just kind of a shrug to me. I was like, okay, so we couldn't figure out what else to do. So I guess this happens. I was like, all right. There's a lot of moments like that in this film for me. And like I said, really, there's a reveal moment at like kind of the top of the third act, end of the second act, that I was like, all right. Yeah, it's exactly how I thought this was going to go. And then I'm just waiting for the movie to finish up, kind of. I actually ended up being pretty bored by the whole second half of this film. It's a cool idea that goes on way longer than it needs to. And it definitely needed more passes on the script. This is certainly more akin to my own personal tastes, because I don't think it's a terrible movie or anything. It's just not my kind of science fiction film. I'm going to give it 5.5 wow out of 10 tasteless strawberries, which is like one of my nightmares.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You get a strawberry. Come
or
on.
A flash champagne. That's
imagine if you suddenly lost your sense of taste. Wouldn't that be like, we don't even think about
so
it, but
you know, Michael Hutchins lost his sense of taste in the last like few years. Like, he got in a fight with Paparazzo and knocked his head on the pavement and lost his sense of taste. And
good Lord.
And it really threw him into depression.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
One of the joys of life.
Yeah. Exactly.
All you have is texture. You know, like this movie needed more of.